The Lord be with you. Hey, we have a few guests who are checking out Hope College this morning. Yeah. Welcome. We hope your visit is great. Also, I have a couple quick announcements. First, there is a week-long prayer initiative going on right now, and you can sign up online at hopeepicenter, which shares one E, .com. And then the second announcement is tomorrow night, there is a house concert and also informational meeting for the Emmaus Scholars Program. Yeah, woo! So check it out. It's tomorrow night from 7 to 9. Now hear the word of the Lord as it comes to us from the book of Acts. In those days, when the disciples were growing in number, the Hellenists complained to the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered together the whole community of believers and said to them, "It is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 men who are of good standing, full of the Spirit and wisdom, that they might devote themselves to this task, while we, on our part, devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word." What they said was pleasing to all who were gathered, so they chose from among themselves Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and along with him Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte from Antioch. They made these men stand before the 12, who prayed for them and laid their hands upon them. And the word of God continued to spread, and many were added to the disciples in Jerusalem, and many of the priests became obedient to the faith. This is the word of the Lord. This is a passage that is full, it's full to the brim with historical and theological significance. And I want us to zero in on that last phrase. And many of the priests became obedient to the faith. This is significant because if we go one story back in Acts, we actually find Peter being thrown into prison by the priests because he was healing and preaching in Jesus' name. You see, the priests in that day saw the Christian faith as a strange cult or offshoot out of the Jewish faith. They saw it as a group with weird theological beliefs. They thought that this Jesus was the Messiah who had been raised from the dead. They saw this group with weird social beliefs. They wanted to marry Jew and Gentile into one community of faith. They were a strange group. You could call them the cultural despisers of the early Christian faith. And many of the priests became obedient to the faith. You see, I think this part of the passage is actually something that ties into today. Grace and I lead a high school Bible study, and we were meeting with the students and talking about Romans 1, which has the passage where Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of salvation, first to the Jew and then to the Greeks." So we wondered together, what would it mean to be ashamed of the gospel? And what was heartbreaking for all of us was we named all of these places where the church was judgmental or harmful, where they were quick to judge or quick to offer a cliche as opposed to the deep truths of the faith. What we realized later was we had replaced the gospel with Christians. We had been fed lines, and we did not come to these realizations from nowhere. This is in the cultural water tables. There are tons of comments and cultural despisers of the Christian faith. In 2007, David Kinnaman, a researcher, wrote a book called Unchristian, where he asked people what were the words they thought of when they think of Christians. And unsurprisingly, it was judgmental or harsh. David Brooks, a columnist for the New York Times who teaches at Yale, recently gave a lecture to a group of evangelicals and talked about how his colleagues speak of Christians. And it's deriding them. It's how can Christians be rational when they believe in a resurrected man? How can Christians want to participate in Christian society or in public society right now when they believe these backwards social beliefs? Or how can they want to participate in society when they just proselytize? There are cultural despisers of the Christian faith right now. This is in the cultural water table. And often as Christians, we wonder, what do we do? What do we do with this? And I think there's something in Acts 6. The priests, the cultural despisers, became obedient to the faith. And they became obedient to the faith because the church committed itself to two sets of things. Did you hear it? 12 committed themselves to prayer and to the service of the word, and 7 committed themselves to the daily distribution of food to widows. Widows who were at the bottom of the social ladder, they had no means of providing for themselves. The priests became obedient to the faith because they were seeing a church that was committing themselves to the whole reality of the gospel. They were not offering some different cute phrase. They were not offering a new strategy, but they committed themselves to prayer and the word, and they committed themselves to acts of mercy. You see, they were entering into the whole gospel, the gospel where Jesus calls us out of our sin, out of our personal darkness, and into his marvelous light, but also a gospel where God calls societies out of places where they subject women or out of places where the least of these are preyed upon and into a kingdom of justice and peace and shalom. The Christians devoted themselves to prayer and to the word, and they devoted themselves to acts of mercy. And the priests became obedient to the faith. Have you noticed when we talk about campus ministries, we devote ourselves to 3 primary areas: discipleship, worship, and integral mission. It's actually in Nancy Smith's job description. She is the chaplain of integral mission. And integral mission hints at what's going on here. It's the integration of evangelism and justice married together, pointing to the full reality of the gospel. These things are not separate, and these things are not opposed. We do not have evangelism without action, and we do not have justice without Jesus, but these things come together. Because in Acts, the cultural despisers, the priests, could not scoff at that. They could not push it aside as some other social service agency. They could not disregard it as irrelevant and disconnected Christians, but they saw it as something beautiful, something deep with roots, and something that meant everything to these Christians. The priests, the cultural despisers, became obedient to the faith. And what I love about Hope College right now, what I love about you guys, a lot of you get this. There's organizations like Emmaus Scholars which wonder about these questions. What does it mean to put together evangelism and justice? But there's also groups like, last year there's that event for Songs Against Slavery because of our Christian faith, trying to move out of a society where women are subjected to terrible things. And there's groups like International Justice Mission, which are large national organizations, which because of their Christian faith have committed themselves to getting rid of sex trafficking and all sorts of oppression. I love seeing you guys make these connections, that the kingdom of God is about evangelism and the kingdom of God is about works of mercy. I love that, because who can push that aside? Friends, that's beautiful. That's a gospel that is whole and deep. And that's a gospel that I want to be a part of. And that's a gospel that caused the priests, the cultural despisers, by the Holy Spirit, to be drawn into the faith and to become obedient to the faith. And the Spirit is still drawing people into that faith. And the Spirit is still calling us and beckoning us to participate in the large, full gospel. So may we seek after that. Because friends, that's beautiful. Amen? Go in peace.